start. It's the last day of Shiva for a friend of one of the guys, a friend of mine. So there should be the Ili Nishmas, Nachum David Ben Eliezer Menachem Mendel Akoyim. Okay, so I just want to give a little hakdama to what I want to say tonight. Tonight's a night really of discussion. I have to leave a little early tonight, so I'm not going to be around, but as long as I am here, I think it's worthy of generating discussion on this topic. It's not like the discussion has not already started, which is great. And I want to just give a small hakdama that a base medrash, in my understanding, should be a place of mistakes. If a base medrash is a place of mistakes, it's a wonderful base medrash. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. Nobody can claim that their way is the only way. Nobody can claim that they know the entire objective truth. A base medrash is a place of mistakes. So I've said a lot of wrong things in my lifetime. You, Meretz Hashem, will say a lot of wrong things in your lifetime, and that's why we're in the base medrash. Base medrash is there. We're here together to work through the havminas. That's what a gemara is. That's what a base medrash is. That's what we're doing all day. We're working through havminas. A havmin is better. It's worse. You got to fine tune it. You got to fix it. You thought you understood. The goal is to try to keep understanding better. The process of learning is not to claim that you know. The process of learning is to try always to understand better. So I'm going to start with the Vart, but the Vart is we should learn. But then we'll talk. But again, tonight also, even though I won't be here for the whole time, but I do think it's good to generate this conversation as it has begun already. So there's a strange pasuk we handled a lot this year in my shiur. Not exactly this pasuk, but me'ein this pasuk. So Hashem says, Moshe tells us, Re'eli marti yaschem chukim u'mishpatim, kasher tzivani Hashem elokoi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you all the laws. You guys are familiar. Lasos came bekerev ha'aretz, and you should do it in the land asher atim boim shamo l'rishta. You're going to inherit that land. Bekol makom she'ani holech. Ushmartem v'asizem. And you should keep it, you should do it. Kihi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ho'amin. So this is a very hard pasuk. So it sounds like from the pasuk that you have to keep the mitzvahs ki, because this is considered your wisdom and your understanding in front of the eyes of the non-Jews. And when they hear Asher Yishmon is called Chukim Ha'ilav, Amru Rak Am Chacham V'Novon Hagoya Gadol Azeh, Ki Mi Goy Gadol Shelo Elokim Krovim Elav, Hashem Elokeinu B'Chol Kareinu Elav. So it sounds like when you read this Pesukim simply, that the goal, I would say one of the goals, but it sounds like the goal. It's a strange pasuk. It sounds like the goal is that we should be looked upon by the non-Jews as, wow, they're an incredible people. And this can't be true. There's no way this is true, because if you live in a world where there's no non-Jews and non-Jews are not familiar with your ongoings, how you live your life, then there's no mitzvahs, like in Chutz Laretz, everything's just for practice. This can't be true. So what exactly does it mean? So there's a Svarna over here, and the Svarna writes, Atan. The reason, I'll read it in English, I'll translate. The Svarna writes, the reason that it's important that the Goyim look at you as being wise and intelligent, She'ein shum goy b'mitzias kazeh, because there's no other nation that has this reality, She'yu lo chukim morim mitzias hakel udrachav, that their laws are representing the ways of Hashem. I'm skipping a little bit. Calling Yanam Mishpat B'tzedek. And our purpose in this world is to follow laws that appear and do have no ulterior motives. We don't stand to gain by keeping our laws. He contrasts a little bit with the non-Jews. They have incentives. They have reasons to do what they do. But by us, we're a pure representation of the ways of Hashem. And if we keep and we behave in ways that are a pure representation of those ways, It sounds to me like what the Svarno is saying is that it becomes a gauge, it becomes an indicator of if we're doing things properly as we should. So, earlier also in the Svarno, he points out that the appearance of things, it's not just in how we do it, but the appearances is also important. You know, we talk that it's facade is not chashuv, and you have to be true to yourself, and you have to try to be genuine. But the appearances, the Svarno writes, is important, the way the guy looked at us. Because they know, or they're told, or we tell them, that we're close to Hashem b'chol kareinu eilav, we're close to Hashem anytime we go out. So it becomes a marker, becomes a test. Who are these people that they deserve to be so close? And so I'm interpreting, maybe loosely, maybe too loosely, you're entitled to your own interpretation, that part of this is a cheshbon. If they look at you in a way that you're chacham v'novam, and they see that the way you conduct yourself, and I'm not talking about chutz for mitzvahs, I think that's a mistake. The psukim are talking about mitzvah observance. If you want to talk about other types of things, that's a different sugya. But your mitzvah observance. You know, we're handling in the morning, the Rambam's tesis, Rashi, Rabbi Natan Tfilin, Tcheles, no Tcheles, all these sugyas. In the way you perform mitzvahs, that's what the guy I'm looking at. Not the way that everybody gets very excited about how you behave in the Museum of Natural History. That's not this sugya. This is sugya of mitzvah observance. And not just that, but the pasuk says, mefurish, ushmartem vasisem. It's not just mitzvah observance, but ushmartem also. It's also limud haTorah. And limud haTorah and practicing mitzvahs, that's what the goyim are watching. That's contrary to what we're familiar with, because the goyim don't seem to be watching our mitzvah observance. They don't seem to be watching the Beis Medrash. So how is this true? Okay, so then we'll talk a little bit. Let's start with the topic, with the inyan. Is this really expected of every Jew? Ushmartem ba'asisem, to a degree that he should be performing mitzvahs and conducting himself in mitzvahs and learning about and having clarity about his understanding of mitzvahs to a degree. Again, this is a chiyuv. It sounds like not on the top 1% of Klal Yisrael. It sounds like a chiyuv on kol echa ve'echa, on every individual. So is this a real expectation? Could we really demand this of every Jew? And okay, let's start from there. So I don't know where this is going to go, so it could be this recording won't go out. But I would prefer to be honest than to speak to with the recording in the background of our minds. And also encouraging anybody else, if you want to chime in, I encourage you to chime in. The Beis Medrash is a place of mistakes. And if I make mistakes, I need you to correct me. So the last week, I guess, we had a lot of, I felt we had a lot of, you call it like hot takes or surprising things that happened in the Beis Medrash. And it starts, it might not have been surprising to you, but I felt it was surprising. And it started when Rabbi Yudin spoke about changing the status quo of curriculums and camps. And it could be to some of you took that as, okay, that was just a natural evolution of how camps teach. And then he spoke also about changing the status quo of schools and curriculum in schools. And I took that as not a small comment. That was not a small statement. And to make these major changes when you challenge the status quo takes clarity and courage, a lot of courage. And then Jeremy spoke to us those couple occasions, and one was better than the next. Just kept getting better and better. And when Jeremy spoke to us, it was the same inyan about challenging the status quo. And when he walked into a camp, he had not criticisms. It's not about seeing anything negative, but he understood that there was a lot to build. There's always a lot to build. And he saw from his vantage point, from his perspective, what there is to build. And then he rolled up his sleeves and he got to work. And that takes a tremendous amount of clarity and courage. It takes a lot of courage for a person to change and to challenge the status quo. And then we had, I felt a phenomenal, phenomenal town hall this morning. I thought it was phenomenal. And I think some terribly, terribly misunderstood it. And I say with the utmost respect, it was on you. It was on you. You heard what you assumed you would hear, but you didn't listen. You thought you would hear something, and that's what you convinced yourselves you heard. It's not what was said. And I want to clarify what was said, and it's a big inyan. It's a very big inyan. And it's connected also, and I do want to focus also on the 9 days. And the 9 days are kol kulo of rebuilding. And rebuilding means there's a conscious effort and being proactive and taking initiative to make things better. And that's what we're trying to do. Well, I did this year in yeshivas. If guys were in, I don't know if I did in the afternoons or in the morning, I think I did in the afternoons, like for like a week. I couldn't stop talking about this because it's on my mind a lot. And I ask us, we're adults. Everybody's an adult in the room. You're not kids. Nobody's a kid anymore. That excuse is beneath you. Nobody's a child anymore. You're an adult. Adult means you have tremendous amount of accountability to yourself and accountability to Klal Yisrael. And as adults in the room, I ask you, educationally, like what Rabbi Yudin was talking about, what Jeremy was also alluding to, educationally, are we hitting the markers that we need to hit? And you ask me, what are those markers? It's to each his own. Everybody should figure it out. Give liberty, give freedom, give independence to each individual to determine what his markers are. That's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. But I have a pasuk. I have a demand. And I have pressure that you have to be an am chacham, that they have to perceive your performance of mitzvahs as something spectacular, that you're really locked in. You're locked into to the Yiddishkeit that was given to you. And you become representatives of God's true will in this world, the pure will, not messing up on his will, not doing things half-baked, not doing things wrong, not misunderstanding things, but having clarity in your understanding and clarity in your behaviors. And that's the marker. This pasuk, this is the marker. And so I ask everybody, are we hitting that marker that we could claim we have clarity in our understanding? And if the answer is no, you're doing great. The answer is no, that's a great compliment, because Beis Medrash is a place of mistakes. Beis Medrash is a place of process. Beis Medrash means process. That's what it means. It's a process. It's not it's not an end. It's an ongoing and never-ending process. But the question is, where is the process leading to? Where are you headed? You know, I don't want to repeat the same phrase over and over, because then you're going to start hearing what you want to hear, not what I'm saying. But where is your ambition directed towards? And so we all go to yeshivas. We all experience what yeshivas are. And we can all not criticize, but try to make things better. That's the only objective we have. To try to make things better, not to put down, not to point, for there's no toelis. Not because 9 days, sinas chinam, you don't need that. There's no toelis. There's a great toelis though, to notice things that could be done better. That's it. And then to execute and figure out a mahalach, figure out a way. You're not kids. You have to stop with that perspective. You're not kids. You're adults. We're adults. We determine, we make these decisions together. You know, we're sitting in Mevaseret throughout the year. Who decides things in Mevaseret? This is a group effort. How things run in yeshiva, we're all deciding together. You're not children. You're adults. You walked into yeshiva adults. You're treated like adults. Your opinions are received like adults. Your thoughts, your advice. You're adults. You're intelligent. This is a group effort. And so I ask, can we do it better? And so on a simple level, this is not what I want to talk about, but just as an example, on a simple level, you know, we had a big, very enjoyable, for me it was very, I don't know for other people, but for me it was highly enjoyable this afternoon, before afternoon Seder, getting into a good hack a good one guy was yelling Geschmack. Everybody else was taking the abuse Geschmack. It was very enjoyable, extremely enjoyable, and I push a little bit that I know that we need to inspire people. Of course I know that. What do I live in a delusion? Of course I know we need to inspire people. I know that we need chizuk. Who doesn't know this? I know that every from guy needs kiruv. This is unquestionable. It's unquestionable. But I also grew up in a place that taught me about success. And I give a lot of, I have really infinite and eternal Hakar Satov to where I went to high school. I went to a place called Flatbush. I don't know what Flatbush is today, but the place that I went to Flatbush, they demanded success. There was a place that was synonymous with success. And I have friends who didn't make it out. They didn't die. They're still alive, they're still healthy. But I have friends who didn't. Some left is a nice way to say it. Some didn't get through sophomore year, and some didn't get through 11th grade, and some didn't get to 12th grade. And I know, I could tell you, I could aid this, bli suffik, that some of my friends, many of my friends, if not for the demand and the expectations, they also would have flunked. But there was demands and expectations. There was a bar. There was a bar of success. And a bar of success means we demand something of you. So we could debate. Now people want to debate. It's a great debate. It's a great debate. Does that bar of success hurt people? Does it help people? I can make mistakes. I'm talking what I see, what I understand. This is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. People yearn for success. It's a no-brainer. If you're not striving for success, you're for sure struggling emotionally. There's no other way. If you're a healthy person, you strive, you yearn to accomplish, to succeed in whatever realm. I don't care, it doesn't matter what realm. If it's personal, a family, religious, career, hopefully it's all of those. You strive, you push yourself, you're driven to succeed. When a person is given the platform or the opportunity to just fester, to be stagnant, to be complacent, and nobody pushes him forward, then a person, we're human. We're human. There's no such thing as lishma in our existence. Lishma is a beautiful concept. It's a wonderful concept, but you use it to justify the wrong activities. In reality, a person needs, you know, imani la'atzmi, if I believe in my inherent capability to succeed, imani. You're not going to get too far. You need a system. You want a friend, you call it a Rebbe, whatever you want it to be. You need something external to yourself to demand. Sometimes it's a boss. Sometimes it's a parent. Sometimes it's an institution. But if nothing is demanding of you, by nature, people tend, and tendencies are not to be taken lightly. Tendencies are extremely powerful. We have a tendency to just soak. And if the whole community, if the whole environment becomes like that, then even the driven among us, they slowly, and maybe some, not all, but many, there are yechidim, for sure, but many, they learn from their environment. They take from their environment. So number one, my premise, is that everybody wants to succeed. If you find me a person who doesn't want to succeed, then a lot of development and maturity needs to take place within that person. And that's okay. I'm not saying everybody's mature. I'm not saying everybody's developed. But when you are mature and healthy and developed, there's a natural desire, a real strong urge to succeed. That's number one premise. And number two premise, like I said, we can't succeed on our own. Here's why it's a little, not controversial, but might turn into a discussion. I've said to parents in the past, and I believe it, I've said to parents in the past that your son's beautiful, your son's wonderful, there's nobody who doesn't love him, he's the sweetest guy, He has the best intentions. A tzaddik, a kadosh, he's going to have olam haba. He's the kodesh kadoshim. Le'elu le'elu. But you got to get this kid out of yeshiva. He's got to bag groceries. You got to put him in a supermarket and give him consequences. Yeshiva is not a place for people who don't have a basic threshold of maturity. It's a basic threshold. A basic threshold of maturity is, like I said, I desire to succeed. Yeshivas today that take boys who don't desire to succeed are hurting themselves, but a lot more, they're hurting the boys. Because those boys, I've seen hundreds, lose confidence, lose self-worth. They feel lacking. They need therapists. They need psychologists. They need more time. That's all they need. They just need more time. And you throw them into a system that is very demanding. And they're not ready for it yet. So go bag groceries. Going to bag groceries, don't misunderstand, that's not an insult. Going to bag groceries is a wonderful thing. To be a waiter is a wonderful thing. To have I have a brother-in-law. My brother-in-law I look up to tremendously. He's a CFO of a major financial corporation. He went to Cooper Union. He's a brilliant guy. And what did he do in high school? He bagged groceries. He stocked shelves. He wasn't raised in this Jewish bubble that we're raised in. He grew up in public school systems, and his parents are wonderful Israelis, beautiful people, incredible people, and they understood that you're a 16-year-old kid, you're in public school, you get out of school, he was on a football team, basketball team, extremely athletic guy, very cool guy, great looking guy, but he had time on his hands, and how do you teach a kid a responsibility? Go stock shelves, go bag groceries. And in our bubble, we're all, again, if you're not, hopefully you understand my expression, we're all rich white kids, and a lot of us are not rich, and some of us are not all white, but we think we're all rich white kids. And when you're a rich white kid, you're not bagging groceries, you're not stocking shelves. So how are you going to become mature? How are you going to grow up? So we say, send them to yeshiva, send them to yeshiva. For what? To lose his confidence? To make him feel like everybody else is passing him in life? For what? He needs more time. It's okay. It's okay to need more time. Yeshiva's not, you know, at the age of 19, if he doesn't do it now, life's over. He'll never have another chance. What world are you living in? When did that become true? Yeshiva needs to be a place of high-level demand and not coming from the system, from coming from the people who demand of themselves. That's called being a healthy person. It's called being a mature person. If you live in a society where 18 and 19-year-olds are not mature and not demanding of themselves and don't desire success, don't allow that to make an impression on you. Again, I'm speaking to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir over here. Nobody needs to hear these messages. That's why I'm using this as an opportunity for an educational conversation. Some of you will be educators. Some of you guys already have tremendous influence on other people. A lot of you are impacting the world in significant and will continue impacting the world in more and more significant ways. But don't accept the status quo. Don't allow for the status quo to exist if it's hurting people. If people are getting hurt in the process, challenge it. If we could do better, ask good kashas. If we could succeed in a more effective way, then implement those changes. It takes a lot of courage. People are not gonna like you. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of clarity, moral clarity. The best people, really, I say it in the most genuine way, that some of the best people I've seen in my life, they did nothing in yeshivas. Yeshivas hurt them tremendously. They still talk about it, how much yeshivas hurt them. And then they turn 22, and then 23, and then 24. And then at some later stage of life, and especially with ADD type personality, sometimes this happens. It takes a few more years, and then things start to click. And Rebbein, again, I'm criticizing myself. Rebbein like to say, oh, now the seeds that we planted are starting to bloom. Come on, get off your high horse. Relax with you did everything for this boy. Relax. You're not God's gift to humanity over here. Relax. The kid just woke up. He's 24. It took him a couple more years. Now he wants to succeed. Boom. Boom. 10 minutes. You know, yeshiva's become, what have yeshiva's become to a degree? Don't know what you're learning. It's not important. You're learning ksubis? You don't have to know it. Nobody needs to know ksubis. As long as you build skills. That's a joke. This is leitzanis. Don't know halacha. Don't understand with clarity machshava. Don't have kinyonim on prokin. This is less important. So what do? We make believe. Get skills. Get skills means be a high-level failure. Don't be a low-level failure. Be a high-level failure. I'm going to justify for you the fact that you don't have a kinyan on what you're working so hard on. And then the rebbeim say, you understand 50% of shir? Good for you. Good for you. You're doing great. Now, can't we agree that if I taught you 10 halachas, and you know 5 of the halachas, you know not 50%, you know 100% of 5 halachas. But if I'm teaching you a Tosfos, and you understand 50% of Tosfos, we all have enough experience to know you don't understand Tosfos. If you're in an Ian Shear, it's a complex Shear, and your Rebbe's telling you the goal is to understand 40% of Shear. Your Rebbe is telling you, you don't need to understand. 40% of a complex Ian Shear is called one mistake after another, one misunderstanding after the next, and we're demanded over here, Am Chacham V'Navon. There's a bar set. The Rabbonu Shalom sets a bar for us. I want to express and manifest my will in this world. And you're going to do that on 30% understanding? 30% is sufficient? This is the summer. In the summer, I'm relaxed. In the summer, I'm not demanding. But somebody comes to Shia without a pen? You gotta go bag groceries. I'm preaching to the choir, I'm not talking to you. Maybe they'll go on a recording. Somebody who needs to hear this will hear this. You come to Shir without a pen, you gotta bag groceries. The world's gotta wake up on this. You come to Shir and you say, I'm trying just to get the gist. And then we pat you on the back and you go another year, and then you go 3, and then you're ready 7th year in Beis Medrash, and you understand half of what's flying, and no kinyan. I sat with one of the most beautiful guys in the Beis Medrash today, and we mapped out his upcoming year in YU, mapped it out nice, clean, and we said he's learning Shabbos next year. 3 prokin with clarity. That's what we're going to do. And if you don't have time for Bekiyas, you got to test it out in the beginning. If you're learning Ian in the morning, you got to chaser Ian. If you're learning Ian, don't make a joke of it. If you're learning Ian in the morning, chaser Ian. I told him, he laughed at me. He laughed, he thought I was crazy. If you're doing Shnai Mikra, chaser Shnai Mikra. What is this? We learn Shnai Mikra. Whatever I remember, everything's haphazard. It's just a haphazard attitude. And we think, you know, so I bring in this morning the most ambitious person I know, definitely top 5, and people heard something that was nowhere close to what he was describing. And I'm convinced because we've been trained to not be able to hear ambition, to not be able to hear that striving for absolute success is the goal. When I was growing up in Flatbush, none of us were capable to hit those metrics. And we all did, every single one of us. The ones who left early, maybe not. But the ones who stayed, we worked hard. And it was in our nature. And when they demanded of us those levels, that bar, they taught us something about ourselves. They taught us that we're capable. And when you demand of a person lives up to the challenge. When you don't demand of a person, then you justify and you give a person license to say, I'll be the highest level failure I can be. Not in the yeshivas I'm a part of. No way. The limud musar is serious. If you're not developing your character, go bag groceries. The tefillah is serious. If your tefillah is not developing, go back. You're not mature enough. It's not an insult. I also wasn't mature enough when I was 9, 12, and also 15. And some of you also, when you were 15, you weren't ready for it. But you're adults. We're adults. We're all adults. And there comes a point in each of our lives where we say to ourselves, I want success. And I'll do what it takes to get there. But then you need to be methodical and strategic about it. And number one about strategic is imanila atzmi ma'ani. You can't do it on your own. Metrics often need to be created and determined by external people or institutions or factors. That's a reality of the human constitution. Our constitution is not strong enough to fight against our pullback of take it easy and calm down and you don't need to push. And when you push yourself, you've all experienced this. When you push yourself, you reach levels of fulfillment, satisfaction, and most importantly, you achieve what the Sfarno writes is the greatest kiddush shem shamayim, that you are a walking representation of Ratzon Hashem. You know, we made jokes this morning that everybody walks around wearing tefillas. They don't know what they're doing. It's foolish. You really look foolish. You're not doing Rashi. You're not doing the Rambam. You're not doing Rebbeinu Tam. You got a lot of blue flying around. And Hashem claims, I don't understand it, Hashem claims, you're really making us look bad over here. When you walk around with those wrong colored blue, wrong number blue, wrong tie blue, you're really making us look bad. Hashem says, you're really making me look bad. When your whole representation of Yiddishkeit and Shmiras HaMitzvahs is just haphazard. You know something, you learn something, you remember something, but it's all a mishkababble in your mind and there's no clarity, there's no demand. I like the most, I have so much respect when you see a guy in Shir, and we have a lot of guys like this, and I give you a tremendous amount of respect and admiration. We have a lot of guys, some of your notes are incredible, and you write it again. We had a guy, I gotta mention him, we call him MVP, it was a guy in Mavaseret. A few years back, he came to Kobe when he was Shana Aleph, and he did great. And then Shana Bet, before he came, he asked me permission. He said, I was in Rav Sav for Shir, and I only had a chance to chazer the Shirim a couple times. I only wrote over my notes a couple times. Would it be okay if in Kobe this summer, I don't learn the limud that you're doing? Were you here when he was here? I don't know if you remember this. He sat in the back corner, far back corner, and he wasn't involved in our limud, and he just, the whole day, he reviewed Rav Safra Shirim, Mamish, from the beginning of the year till the end, and he wrote the most beautiful sefer. I forgot what Masaf, the most beautiful sefer. The next year, I showed it to Rav Safran, he's a little kid, Rav Safran and Rav Abramovich, I'm losing the names, but I showed it to Rav Safran, the people who run Yula, and they couldn't believe it. There's no way he wrote this. There's no way. It was just impossible. It was impossible that a regular Talmud wrote this. And they knew him in high school. He wasn't Rebbe Akiva Eiger. They couldn't believe it. You know him very well. It's unbelievable. It wasn't Rebbe Akiva Eiger. And he wrote notes like Rebbe Akiva Eiger. And why? Because he woke up one day and he demanded success. And he set the bar very high. And he didn't justify or rationalize or accept this mediocre perception that so many people have of complacency. Of, I got 40% and in YU, I'm going to do Ian in the morning and Bakias at night, and I'm not going to chazer a lick. Not going to chazer a lick. Nothing. I'm not going to remember anything. I'm not going to know anything with clarity. I'll stop learning halacha. I won't do musr. I'll come to davening late. My whole life's going to be a mess. Oh, he succeeded. That's the success. This is late sons. This is I'm doing stand up right now. This is a comedy act. It's a comedy act. And you don't want to challenge that status quo? I'm challenging that status quo. I'm strongly, heavily challenging it. I'm not going to tell you the admission requirements that we try to look for when it comes to Mavaseret. But it's very connected to these metrics about whether we see a person genuinely is interested in his own success. When a person is genuinely interested in his own success, yeshiva's doing a great good. Yeshiva's offering great resources, and he's able to develop in the most beautiful ways. When a person, like I said to you guys a couple years ago, that I hung up my cleats in regards to trying and pulling and prodding to mature people who weren't yet mature. It's okay. People need, again, this is an expression, not an insult. People need to bag groceries. And as an example, when you're a counselor in a camp, being a counselor in camp, I think that's a wonderful, I see it and I know it. It's a wonderful opportunity to just develop maturity. It's a great way to mature. But when you get to yeshivas, and we have it, you know, I'm fortunate. It's a tremendous ashreichem, and I feel very me'ushar. I feel extremely honored and lucky that I get to be in an environment in the summers where everybody is driven. Everybody's driven in their own way for different things. We're all very different in this kolo. Extremely different people, personalities, what interests you, what appeals to you. And that's why when Rav Willig was here on Friday, all the different questions coming from different angles, and should we do more of this or less than that? And when we went to Rav Reisman, we heard different answers, and it speaks to the breadth and the spectrum of the guys here. But one thing we have in common, driven people. And I'm challenging the status quo, don't be satisfied. Don't be complacent. And don't accept anything, you know, when Alon said the other day with Roger Federer, that 54%, I also like 54%. 54% will win you the US Open and the British Open and all the Opens. But 54% will not give you clarity in learning. They won't. 54% will not give you avodas hatfilah. 54% doesn't accomplish avodas hatfilah. And it's not hard. This is not hard. And I'm telling you, you want to succeed. We all want to succeed. Everybody wants to succeed. And without metrics, clear strategy to get to that success, to know how to know what you're striving for, and to figure out the work, to figure out how to get there. It doesn't happen haphazardly. It's not arbitrary. It needs to be intentional and deliberate. And this is the next phase. It's the next phase that I would encourage you all, like I said, to discuss, to think about. We could start now. We'll take, if guys want to share ideas about how to do this, I'm all ears.
Forget my terminology. This is like, it sounds like the fifth crisis of Yeshiva. It's like, where's a guy going to develop, quote, like, maturity before going to Yeshiva? And I understand, like you're saying, like Yeshiva's okay. Not an issue.
I'm going to call you out publicly. You're not allowed to ask that question. I met you day one, and you were extremely mature. So you answer that. You tell me. You had it way before you got to Yeshiva.
But I'm saying, what's the
option? No, hold on, I want an answer. Okay, one thing, you're being honest, you're not playing the humble game and denying. You know it's true. He comes in Yeshiva. Yeshiva, before he walked in, was, you know, Madrichim are yelling, everybody help clean up. Chaim walks into Yeshiva, no announcement ever needed to be made again. The base medrash was always spotless. He was my Shir Shana Aleph would walk into Shir, there was never a sefer on a table. Everything was set up before I got there, clean, wiped down, the chairs. That was day one, Shana Aleph. How'd you get there? I don't know, whatever your secret is, you're going to give a workshop after Maariv. Okay, great, I like that answer. Fantastic answer. I could say it about everybody. A couple guys need a little. But I cannot could say it about everybody. So my point is, once you're there, and you are, and you were, and you continue to be, once you're there, let's go for the gold. Know what is gold. And so when a guy stands up here this morning and in front of everybody says to be highly ambitious, to work hours and hours a day, and in your dark corners, you could pass criticism on that person, something's wrong. You could pass criticism on a person who has whatever he's driven to do, and he's so hungry that he does everything it takes to get there. And we pass criticism, something's off here. Something's off. This is a model. Again, all of you are also different. This one likes Kabbalah, this one likes Gemara, this one likes Hasidus, this one likes Hashkafa, this one likes Iyah, and this one likes Bekiyas. Of course, we're all different. He likes Tefillah, we're all different. That's okay, that's great, that's wonderful. So you're different than him, he's different than you, that's fine. But one thing you didn't see enough was hunger. Hunger and not being complacent. And challenging the status quo. Challenge the status quo. Don't be satisfied with the status quo if you could do better. And you can. And we could all do better. And if we could do better, we're entitled and we're encouraged to challenge that status quo. You know, I'm sorry, I gotta say one thing. Because we had a good discussion this afternoon. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'll ask and I'll answer the question. Every kid in a high school today, at some point, feels a little bit, I would say jealous. Maybe you don't want to agree to jealous, but I'll at least say curious. What would have happened if I would have went to Frisch? Everybody, I'm just saying it like it is. Frisch is a school. Frisch is a great school. All the other schools are also great. But Frisch is a really great school. Now, it doesn't mean Frisch is intense. Frisch's Sharia is amazing. Zimria, whatever these things are called. Color War you guys have. What else you have? There's a lot of fun over there. They maybe win tournaments. They have great teams. It's a great time. Frisch is a great time. You walk around in that place, kids are happy. Kids feel good. It's a positive place. It's a great place. But it's a demanding place. And you know when you come to Yeshiva that the Frisch kids are, they have something. I'm not saying not Philly. There's a number of schools. Frisch doesn't have a monopoly, but it happens to be we have a lot of Frisch guys in Yeshiva, and it definitely stands out. Are they the best Gemara learners? No. Are they the most intelligent guys? No. They're normal. They're normal guys. But they know what it means to be driven for excellence. To be driven for excellence, they know. That they know. And then, okay, so you put a Gemara in front of them. And you put a Mishnah Berurah, and you put a davening, and you put a Mussar Sefer, and the kid just, you know, it goes, it's smooth. So who didn't have that phase a day or a week, or maybe you're suffering already 5 years, wondering, Ma, why didn't you send me to Frisch? You know, who knows what I could have been today? And all the schools should be like that. It's not religious. To demand is not contrary to being from. I'm reading this in the Pesukim. Hashem wants us to be an Am Chacham V'Navam. Am Chacham V'Navam means you don't need to know everything. We're not all brilliant people. We're not all you know, tremendous people. But what you know, you should know. What you know, you should know. That's Am Chacham V'Navam. What you know, you should know. What you study, you should understand. This is not a crazy expectation. And who's gonna gain? Oh my God, you're gonna be so happy. And you've experienced this, you've seen it. In things that you have kinyanim on, you have kinyanim on midos, you have kinyanim on avoda, you have kinyanim on limud, on things that you have kinyanim on, there's no better experience. And then you fight it. Some people fight it. No, it's, we can't, and God forbid, and too pressured, and no way, tests, and expect. You do it yourself, and it's an amazing experience. And you become this Am Chacham V'Navam. Who's losing? You want that. You all want that. Who doesn't want that? And if you don't want that, again, nobody from here, but if a person's not ready for that, that's okay. So be a counselor in a camp and develop that. You know, again, it's a muscle, but bag groceries. Develop that, stock shelves. My brother-in-law is such an impressive guy. I look up to him in so many ways. My brother-in-law didn't go to Yeshiva High School, for sure not Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he's the first guy, Avos Torah, 6:25, Englewood Shacharis, he's the first guy there. When I go to his house, he's like, Ben, we gotta pull out at 6 a.m., I gotta be there, time to put on my tallis and tefillin before davening starts. No high school yeshiva, no post-high school yeshiva, no. I think his yeshiva education ended in like fifth grade. He went to some kind of day school until he switched to public school. And the guy's mamish moving, in Yiddish guy. He's moving. He's hungry. He understands what it means to have standing. He went to Cooper Union. Cooper Union is a real school. Cooper Union has expectations. And by us, what happens? I just want to tell you what happens. I'm sorry that I want to hear what you have to say also, but I'll say one more thing. What happens? Then what happens? You go through these yeshiva systems, and again, you do it to yourselves. You do it to yourself, then you lower the bar and no expectations, and then I'm not taking shots at anybody, but then it's like, should I go to a real college? I could go to like some kind of like online yeshiva shematzav, and then I can't get a job, but maybe like I could get a job from like my great uncle, he has a sister who knows a guy, and then I get a job with that guy, and then you know, you're pulling in 40, 50 grand, and it's not enough, and then you got to stickle, embezzle money, a side hustle. Your whole life is like, you could just do things right. Just do things right. It's so much smoother. Like when a guy asks me, I don't know, should I go to med school, I gotta commit 8 years, 10 years, so what? What are you afraid of? So you'll succeed. It'll be amazing. To succeed takes effort. That's great. What do you want to do? You want to succeed without demanding excellence? You want to succeed without creating a bar? How's it gonna happen? Everything's gonna be just haphazard. By accident, haphazardly, arbitrarily, you're going to end up with an amazing family, an amazing job, and an amazing community. You're going to be a big CEO. The dream, you need to take steps to get to the dream. You can't just have a dream that's a dream. A dream's got to have some shaykhis to reality. I'm sorry, Issa, you want to say something? Okay, Nathaniel, you want to say something?
Yeah. How does one make sure Torah stays within that
range? I think you need metrics for success. Like, a person could decide they like smicha, they don't like smicha, but one beautiful thing about smicha is it demands. By smicha, you take tests. You know, every yeshiva guy's like, I refuse to take tests. It's not lishma. Get out of here. You know, every developed guy in the mirror takes tests on his limud. Every smicha guy takes tests. Why can't we give tests to yeshiva guy? No, it's not lishma. Oh, everybody's, living an alternate reality. You put yourself in limudim that are demanding. Demanding means with tests and with chazaras. That's why I love what Rabbi Yudin does. Where's Avos? You want to see Avos Torah in high school? I said it when he was here, and I say it when he's not here. Go to Rabbi Yudin Shir in DRS. There's Avos Torah. Why? Because they have a kenyan. Because they chazer and they chazer, and when they're done chazering, they chazer again. Who does that? People who want to have kenyanim, they do that. There's no shortage of chazaras. Keep chazering. It's a beautiful thing. Andrew.
Where exactly is that bar? Because I feel like there are some things that you as success that are just based on.
When I see the kids come to davening in the morning, so they need to sign in. I don't know who created that system. I would challenge that system. But when you get to high school, Mustama, it's a similar system. You got to sign into davening. And maybe in yeshiva, I don't know all the yeshivas, but maybe some yeshivas, there's like people take stock of who's there. This is not what I'm talking about. This is way, way, way beneath the conversation. The conversation is avodas hatfilah. So when you ask me religiously, to me that means personal development, refinement, connection to Hashem, tefillah. Those need metrics too. And what the guy who spoke this morning, what he said, which among many things that I fell in love with what he said, but one of the things that he mentioned was that in the way he runs his business, every 90 days, I forgot the term that he used, but every 90 days they take stock and they look back and they ask themselves, did I accomplish my goals? I would do that with tefillah. I would do that with every avoda that you're trying to develop in your own life. And sometimes you could do it on your own. More often, probably, you need help from the outside. But to have real metrics that you need to live up to. And if people think you're making Judaism rigid and you're making Judaism too much like a... I don't know exactly what you would call it. I'm being realistic. You look around at the world. You look around the world. People don't know they're learning. People learn every night. They put the time in. They learn every night. Precious people. They put in learning every night, and they don't know anything. So is there value in that? Of course, there's value in that. There's tremendous value in that. But challenge the status quo. We could do it better. You could do it better. You know, people, they go and they learn, and that's unbelievable. It's tremendous. But you could do it better. You could go to learn, and you could also chazer, and you could know you're learning, and you could work harder. And that's and every area that you're involved in Ruchnius, you should be doing. If you see Tanzi, I gotta leave, but Tanzi's supposed to drive me, so. Okay, yeah, alone.
What's the thing that makes someone the sheriff? And why do some people only have it later in life?
I don't know, but Alon and Chaim will do a workshop after Maariv, because you could explain, because you have it, and Chaim could explain, because he has it, and I don't know, I'm not sure, I thought about this for years, I don't have clarity on this opinion, but Alon and Chaim are welcome to give a workshop, to dig up how, and everybody else can get involved too, because I really see a lot of you really have it, and I don't know the answer to that question. I'm blown away at how many people I encounter who do have it. And my only frustration is that since you do have it, why are we not taking you to the next level? Why are you not taking yourself to the next level, which you can and which you should and which you want to? Which you want to.
For those less than honest people who wish they were honest and rich, how do you develop that sense of discipline?
I agree with you. That takes external people outside of you. You know, if parents, rebbeim, institutions, they need to create demands. Demands are not discipline. Demands are not rules. Rules are for small children. I'm not talking about like disciplinary rules. Like when you have a job, a high level job. It's not like we're going to discipline you. It's not how it works. When you have a high level job, you have deadlines, you have expectations, and if you perform, then you're successful, and then you go to the next level. We want to climb levels in Yiddishkeit, and the way to climb levels in Yiddishkeit is by performance. Your level of performance allows you in avoda, in learning, in all aspects, to climb to next levels. So for sure you need metrics. You have a great Rebbe in Yeshiva, really the best Rebbe. I could be a good sidekick to your Rebbe, but you have, I don't want to say the best because they're all the best, but you know what you have, and your Rebbe, he's not human. How did he get to his achievements in life? I'm saying, how many, forgive me for calling him out, but how many pediatric cardiologists do you know that are massive Talmidei Chacham and Magidei Shiurim? You know people like that? I don't know too many people like that. I think I know one. And that's your Rebbe. So I would imagine he would be an incredible resource to help you strategically develop a Mahalach, to get to push yourself to further levels of success in avoda. Again, somebody gave me a hard time today, I'm not going to say who, that this is becoming an academic religion. I'm talking about avoda. Avoda is a tefillah. I'm talking about avoda is a tefillah. And learning. And mussar. Every area. And midos. And midos. There are metrics of midos as well. You can measure success in these things. These are not like, you know, when you go in for Pesach or summer and you have your Rida, you're like, oh, I thought I grew so much and I realized I didn't grow. Why do you think you grew so much? Why'd you make that false assumption? Did you have any reason to genuinely prove to yourself that you grew so much? What metrics were you judging yourself by that you had clarity that you grew, that you're so disappointed now? It boggles my mind. You just said, I grew so much based on what? I felt I grew. That's not a metric. That's not a bar. I felt I grew. You know what? I feel like a woman. So what? It doesn't work. It's not going to get you there. But if you have clear methods and it works and it's moving, you're not going to fall back. It doesn't happen like that. Where's Tanzi? Everything got to go. Could I ask somebody to check if Tanzi's maybe like wandering outside? I'm waiting for him to come in to leave. Max, you want to say something? Different areas, different ways, but learning is the easiest way. Learning is the easiest way. Again, I said that guy, MVP. This kid, MVP, he just knew every shiur well in all of its details. That's easy. When it comes to different forms of avoda, midos, I think, are also easy. Midos, how you treat people, certain areas of midos that you struggle with. You know, Tanzi?
So he'll be here at 9:30.
He'll be here at 9:30? Okay.
Is that Lichtenstein?
Lichtenstein? So, so then, you know what, I'm going to ask, because if you'd be here at 9:30, because I got to go to I'm going to leave, I'm not going to be here for Marv. So if I could ask, maybe if I could just, like, we need a Marv here at 9:45, maybe we could ask 10 guys, tell me with a Marv, maybe, outside, we'll do a Marv, so like in, I don't know, 3 minutes, we'll do a Marv outside, just like, if I could get a menu, that would be appreciated.
You're talking about the school of Frisch, he's still, like, disciplined. You think that
I don't know what Frisch does. I'm assuming based on the representation.
Some kids who have this demand of themselves. Do you think that someone develops that in the
show? I also, but Flatbush, I do know. Flatbush of old, maybe of current, I'm just not familiar. But Flatbush of old, I see in Frisch guys what I experienced in Flatbush. And so I could testify about Flatbush. Frisch, you know, you could ask them to give you more information, and if Moshe decides to go back to ninth grade, you know, we'll see how that works out for him. I'm sorry, what was your question?
So getting to that point, when you experience yeshiva, if the guy takes it seriously, do you think that translates into the working world, or even a lot of guys, they just are very, like, they strong in the work, and then they don't care about anything else.
The working world is easy, because I like that you guys, some of you guys might have been critical, I like that. But what you don't realize yet is that a lot of you, not all, a lot of you will be employees. To be an employee is very easy, because somebody else is setting the metrics for you. Somebody else is creating the bar for you. You don't need to be creative. You don't need to be thoughtful about how to set the bar. It's given to you. But the guy who spoke to us this morning, he's giving jobs. And when he gives jobs, he creates performance metrics for his employees. That's hard. So when you say you get a job, I think for the vast majority of people, when you get a job, it's not easy always to perform, but it's easy to understand what your performance, what it needs to hit. Because your employer is telling you what to do. So okay, you do it. But to run the show, like he said, how much pressure does he have? He's gotta produce payroll. He's got to pay everybody. He's got to get the clients. He's got to make sure the machine is well oiled and running. That takes ingenuity. That takes a lot of creativity and intelligence and courage. But the employee, I'm not nervous anybody won't be a good employee. I'm very nervous people won't be employers.
Why is that important?
To be an employer? Because whatever you do, you do it the best you can. Whatever you do it the best you can. I heard this from Shmuel Kamenetsky. When I was in YU, a friend of mine, we went to Shmuel Kamenetsky, he went in, and he asked Shmuel Kamenetsky, you know, is it mutter to be in YU? You know, Shmuel Kamenetsky runs Philly Yeshiva, serious yeshiva in America. Is it mutter to be in YU? He said, there's one heter, if you're on the dean's list. If you're on the dean's list, it's mutter. Why? He explained. Because if you're not performing in school, it's going to affect your performance in yeshiva. So if you're on the dean's list, then you're allowed to be there because your learning will be good too. But a guy who's in YU and not working to be on the dean's list, not striving for success, and again, the guys who are a little bit in YU, who started post-Pesach or older, you see it. You see it. People who are so stark, they're very stark. They don't go to classes. They're very stark. They're willing to take C's. They're very stark. If you know them, if you live with them, if you're their roommate, you see very clearly they're napping in the afternoons. They're not learning afternoon seder. They take naps. You know, it's a scam. This attitude is a scam. If in business you want to be an employer, you'll also, in Ruchnias, be your own employer. And you'll push yourself harder. You'll make sure you get to these bars that you're capable of getting to. Okay, we'll do one last thing, and then we'll do Marv, if you could ask.
Do you believe this sort of level of complacency you described, come on, drop the words in your mouth, you didn't mean this, you didn't, but that part of it comes from the institutional side?
For sure.
Is that like, do you feel that as like
yeshivas,
like as businesses, like that's like a struggle?
For sure. I'm going to call out Rafael. I'm not going to call it myself. Call out Rafael. Why? Rafael works for an institution. I don't want to say which one. He works for a wonderful institution that they give 32 credits to boys who don't do anything. That means the institution said, we condone and encourage and are 100% okay with you accomplishing nothing. And then when you get to that institution, it's like, wait, hold on a second. I thought we get credits for free out here. There's a premise. Yeah, the institutions are doing these people a tremendous harm. Again, I'm not, Feldman's, I'm not I'm calling him out, and I'm not calling out the institution. It's much.
Know that they're reconsidering that policy.
They should. They should.
I saw that 2 months ago.
They should, and I think it's a bracha. I do think it's a bracha if less guys go to yeshiva in Israel. You know, and I'm not afraid to say that.
We can talk offline. I think there's a good chance that starts to happen.
Because they could, because those kids will mature. And when they're ready for it, they're going to do much better.
Yeah.
And you'll have a phenomenon where in yeshivas, people want to be there and people want to succeed. And it'll create a different environment.
In fact, can I just say one thing from my experience in the YU? One thing, for sure, Rebbe's saying about this is more as a top man as a Rebbe because I'm not a Rebbe to these kind of guys. But the guys who do well in class are have an almost 100% overlap.
We all know that. We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay, Shkaz. Again, this is base madrash is a place for mistakes. I want to be very clear. In this talk, in this conversation, I'm sure I made 25 mistakes. So everybody's encouraged. Push back. Fight. Let's fight it out. You know, keep fighting it out till we have more clarity. More clarity. That's the avoda. The avoda is not, I'm telling you this is the way it is, and now, you know, that's the emes. I'm not saying it's emes. It's a conversation. But I want to challenge the status quo. Because when you challenge things that exist, it brings you to good places. Shkayev, if I could have just 9 kind volunteers.